Well, good morning, everyone, everyone. I just want to start out by saying I am not going to go as long as I did in January. You know, Pastor Ernestine didn't give me a time limit, so I didn't even pay attention. And as long as the Lord was flowing, you know, I ain't going to blame it on him, because, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:32 says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, so we're not completely controlled. But Robert's going to keep it down today. I got a timer set, and I just thank you all for being here. And I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed to be here. I've been praying over you and me to be able to hear. And so I got this word yesterday. And this message is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You know, going back to that scripture that I used it in January, it was Matthew 13, in verse 11, it says, Jesus was saying, it's because it's been given unto you to know, the ability to know, to understand, perceive. And so I'm kind of taking off from some of that. But I'm going to read this scripture here in John 3. You can turn there with me. John 3, verse 5 through 8. I'm reading from the New King James. I'm going to expound on this a little bit, but this is not really my message. But there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, leader of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles that you do unless God is with him. It's interesting to me that he came to him by night, of course. He's a Pharisee. But he is coming to ask a question that he didn't ask, but Jesus answered. But he calls him Rabbi, not Master, not Lord. He calls him teacher. He says, you are a teacher, for no one can do the miracles that you do unless God is with him. Interesting to me is that the reason why he couldn't see past anything else is because he had conditioned his heart to be hard. It's because the information that he's getting, the input that he has, is coming from all from the natural realm. And so Jesus said unto him in verse 3, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Again, he's going with the input he has. I mean, it's just everything that he's ever known. And so, and Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus is saying, unless you're born of the water, that's not water baptism. He makes that clear in other areas, but it's born of a woman, you know, natural. If you're born naturally and spiritually. So you must be born naturally, and then you must be born again of the Spirit. And he says, do not marvel. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of the natural is natural. He's not speaking of flesh as being the sins of the flesh. He's the born, what's born in of natural, of this realm, is natural, and what's born of the spirit, the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm, maybe say it that way, is born of the spirit of spirit. Do not marvel, I say unto you, you must be born again. And he talks about how the wind blows. You don't know, you hear it, but you don't know where it's coming from, where it's going, because you can't perceive these things of the spirit with all of your abilities that you have in this natural realm. So I want to talk about the differences and what we need to do to be able to live, abide. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, at chapter John 15, it's incredible chapter. What it is to abide in him, the difference between what we're getting, the input from everything we've ever known, and what we have access to by the Spirit. I'm thinking, and I mean, this is just me, 99.99% of Christians don't expect miracles. They don't expect signs and wonders, creative miracles, healings, etc., etc. And in other words, the things of the Spirit, because we are so much more conscious of the natural realm of this world, this life, which I call of the soulish realm. What we've always known was out of our soul. We can perceive from in our soul because we didn't have a living spirit alive to him. So our natural default, unless you take other steps, you're only going to get be able to live in the things that are from the natural. Okay? And we think on the things that are, when we think on the things that are natural, and our soulish selves reveal to us by the five senses, okay, you've heard that before, but also by our emotions, from our emotions, from our feelings, from our intuitions, you just go on and on. That's of the soul. Or, you know, it's the mind, will, and emotions. There's much more to that. It's not just basic mind, will, and emotions, but you're getting the five senses and the things that you can sense in the soul, intuition, emotion, feeling, and all of that. We get input from that. And that's what we think on those things. That's what we think. That's what it's where we live. That's where we live. Okay? And that is actually designed by God, that we would produce what we eat. In other words, what's sown in the heart will produce. You know that. You've heard that. You've heard me speak on it. You've heard others speak on it. But this is what we feed on in our hearts and our minds. This is what it feeds on. This is a dominant our dominant consciousness, and our natural default is to that. Unless we take other steps, because it's a constant thing. It's just a default, and it's just most Christians live there. They have no clue. They don't realize that, I just want to be able you ask the Lord, would he speak to me? He's speaking to you now, but you just might not know how to perceive and understand that. And you know, Jesus, his whole thing when he was here, one of the main things was not that you would have knowledge, but that you would know him, that we would know him. You know, in I think it's Jeremiah 9:24 says, and that you glory in this, that you understand and know me. And that's Jesus. He wasn't about trying to correct Nicodemus. He was answering a question that was really on his heart. And he wasn't, I was funny, I was talking to Brother Steve Humphrey this past Sunday, and I'll talk to him again today. He was pointing out to me the same, very same thing with the disciples. If Jesus had like zero tolerance policy with his disciples, in other words, just correcting and correcting, he would never gotten anything done. He'd just been correcting them all the time. And he's the same with us. He doesn't have a zero tolerance policy. His aim is that we would understand and know him. So I'm trying to stick right with my notes so I don't go too long. But it is the way the Lord made us, that we would operate and live in the things that we input, the things that we have to cooperate with this understanding, with this law of God, this principle, which is that we are what we eat, and focus on the things of the Spirit to keep our hearts soft. Otherwise, the things of this natural realm will dull the heart, and you won't be sensitive to the things of the Spirit. It'll just go right by you. I was speaking to a pastor here in the last couple of weeks that's in a situation, I put it that way. It's a life and death type of deal. And I had things from the Lord for him, you know. And the Lord told me to give him a call, and I did, and he was welcomed it. But he could not hear, because he was convinced that he knew. And he was basing so many things off of logic and reasoning, the two things that get us in the biggest trouble. We'll take a truth of God and then turn that into something else, because we go by logic and reason instead of by the Spirit. Because he's not always going to work with what we call logic or reason. And I'm just telling you, I've been doing this a long time. So the thing is, most Christians do not even expect the supernatural favor and blessing of the Lord, much less signs and wonders and miracles. But we're supposed to expect all of that. It's actually supposed to be the new natural for us. And that's why it's amazed me how natural things seem when I am flowing in ministry of people being receiving a miracle or receiving a prophetic word. It just seems so natural that I can't even tell when I'm actually speaking a prophetic word or a word of knowledge, and I'm not. Somebody else has to tell me that just happened, or that happened yesterday. And I'm just not trying to bring a word of knowledge. It's the natural state of operating in the Spirit. And if you spend time with him and in his word with him, that becomes more and more living out of your spirit. So, you know, there's a fruit of whatever you put in you, there's a product. And the product or the fruit of being so conscious of this, of the input that you get from this realm, this natural realm, is the product is a dull and a hard heart. And the thing is, what I've come to realize, we all have that problem. I have that problem. I have to constantly be dealing with that problem because I'm more and more conscious of it. You know, my mind is like, they gave us tests when I was in high school, and I wasn't real smart. But I took some kind of a test, that some new thing that the state had come out with. And, you know, these people from the universities, NC State and Duke and North Carolina, University of North Carolina, came up with. And they picked our school to run this. They wanted to, not as a beta test, they'd already beta tested it, but they wanted to start out with us. Told me that my mind worked incredibly on reason and logic and problem solving, and that I was destined to be an engineer or something like that, because that's how my mind worked. Well, that's the way the Lord made me. Now, what I had to do is bring all that into submission to the Spirit, or I would have some of the problems that some of my friends have. But anyway, what it did to me is made me so sensitive to seeing that when I hear somebody bringing a word, and it's a great word, and all of a sudden they jump over into logic and reason. So we have to, if we'll live out of our spirit, we learn how to do that, we can avoid all that. Because see, here's the thing, we're getting all this input from this natural realm, the soulish realm, through our soul instead of through our spirit. What should be happening is what we're getting through our spirit into our soul. You know, and I talked the last time I was with you about bringing the soul into submission to the spirit, which it doesn't want to do. But once it does, it's actually released to be what it's intended to be to its fullness, because everything that comes from the spirit is going to go through the soul out. You speak in it, you believe in it, you know, the whole thing. Mind, will, and emotions totally subject to the spirit is powerful. And so, but just getting input from the world, it dulls our understanding. We cannot perceive, we cannot understand. Here's Nicodemus. How can a man be born again? Can he enter again, second time into his mother's womb? He had certain input. He didn't have any spiritual insight. And Jesus says, he didn't say that to him. He just began to try to bring him some spiritual understanding, give him an opportunity. So whatever we think on and consider, every waking moment, we're meditating. That's meditation. We're meditating on. Our hearts become sensitive to. And whatever we don't consider and think on and meditate on, our hearts become dulled and hard to. That's just the truth. Not setting our hearts on things hardens us to those things. Not setting our hearts on the things of the Spirit hardens our heart towards those things. Another thing that can harden your heart is when the Lord tells you, do this, and you don't do it. You just added a layer. Now, I'm telling you, this is, I don't want this to sound like it's insurmountable, because all that can be broken quick. Okay, this is not a hard thing. This is not a very hard thing to break free of. It just, it requires a decision. It requires is a decision on our part, because He has provided all the grace needed to walk in the Spirit and not after the natural realm. And our preoccupation with everyday life and our responsibilities, and we all have some, can harden our hearts towards the Lord too. So we have to make a deliberate effort to look beyond all of that and keep our hearts and minds focused on the things of the Lord. I love Andrew Womack's book, first one he was teaching on when I first heard him speak, and it's Effortless Change. You know, that's what he spoke to me about when I began to speak to my children 2 years ago, or maybe a little longer. And I was just, Lord, what can I do? How can I help them? And the Lord said, you bring them my word and you teach them verse by verse, and my word will do the work, and it will effortlessly change them if they receive the word, if they allow the word come into their heart. So, you know, it's the living word. It's not knowledge. Knowledge will puff up. I know people that went through Charis Bible College and they've got all the information. They got some revelation, but they got a lot of information. When information doesn't transition to revelation, information transitions to knowledge that puffs up. I've heard people just stand and speak. They're bringing this message in. They're bringing all the information, they're bringing this knowledge, but there's no life in it. There's no life in it. And so, you know, if we can begin to, during our day, meditate on him, just one scripture. I've taken one word, one scripture, and meditated on it. I mean, I was looking at this message I've got today, this morning, and I had to stop because I was getting more. I said, Lord, I got, a few minutes. And so, in other words, I'm not going to finish today. I'll have to finish another time. I don't know if I'll finish then either. It's like in a series kind of a thing. But, I mean, not because I'm smart. He just keep pouring it out. Everything I get, I received. Okay? We're told that we must walk by faith and not by sight, not by the natural realm. To be in this world, but not of it. Because we're actually sojourners. We're a colony of heaven here. We're not up here, from here. We're spirit beings. Living in the spirit means living off of the things of the spirit, off of the living word. That is our source. Spending time with him, that his words are alive to us, and then meditate therein. Okay, and when we're operating out of our spirit, in other words, Paul said, he calls on us to walk in the spirit, walk not after the flesh, not after the natural realm, but after the spirit. If we're walking in the spirit, we're in faith. And when we're in faith, all things are possible. All things are possible. Now, all things are possible, and all the things that are possible are natural in the spirit. They're not odd. They're not, oh, wow, that's unusual. No, it's natural. And whenever things happen miraculous and people are astounded, it's because their hearts are dull. And I know, I've been all through this myself. I walked through it. Remember, I'm going to read this back to you again, Matthew 13, 10 through 12, and then verse 18. And the disciples came to him, this was after the parable that he spoke in Matthew 13 of the sower, and said, why do you speak to them in parables, remember? And he answered them and said, because it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them it has not been given. Okay, verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have in abundance. There's actually no end to it. And we have to stop checking a box and, oh, I got this. I got it. I'm telling you, I don't have it. I don't. I don't have it. But I'm still in it. But I'm not, I don't have it all. I know I don't. I mean, matter of fact, after almost 51 years, I'm realizing I'm just a beginner. It's like I'm an infant. And Jesus says, he will be given in abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And in verse 18, answers, why is that? It says, therefore, the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that word that was sown in his heart. John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and you have it in abundance. Man, this is the enemy coming and snatching the word right out of our heart, even when it's sown, because we didn't understand it. How is it that we didn't understand it? Because our hearts were dull. We can change that. Starts out with yielding yourself. I mean, it's like I need to constantly bowing my heart and saying to my soul, Psalm 62:5, So be still before God only. And, you know, I mean, you think about, I may have gotten the scriptures mixed up when I gave you earlier. I can't remember, but I think it's Psalms 85:8 says, I will hear what the Lord Jehovah will say. Now, this is a guy, he's an Old Testament guy. But his attitude towards the Lord was, I'm going to quiet my heart. And the grace is there for him to hear. Because he quieted his heart and he bowed his heart. We can do the same thing. If he can hear, I mean, Jesus called us his friends. Friend of God. Friend of God. Okay, I'm getting excited. But, you know, he says that the reason why it was taken from him because he didn't understand it and his heart was hardened. Romans 12:2. Okay? Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't just live off the input that you're going to get this input. And matter of fact, if you got your soul submitted to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can use the input that you're getting from the world, from this natural realm. But it's submitted to Him. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, of your soul. Okay? Of your mind. In verse 1 it says, present your entire being. Present your, not just your physical body. Present you. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Bow my heart to you, Lord. I bow my heart to you. Meditating on Him and His Word and beholding Him is the secret. Meditating on Him. The more that you meditate on Him and behold Him, the more you'll perceive and understand, and the less the enemy can snatch things out of your heart, truths out of your heart. I remember going through notes when we were living down in Curry Beach, I don't know when it was, 6 years ago, and going through some notes that I had written in 1980-something. And I had forgotten that I had that revelation. And I realized right then that I had let the enemy steal that from me. If I hadn't written it down, it would be gone. And I mean, thank God I wrote it down. You know, journaling, I'm not good at it. But, I mean, you know, if you can do that, that's wonderful. You know, just remember that everything we need to know and understand, it's revealed to us by Him revealing more of Himself to us. Just being open to Him. Just being open to what He has to say. You know, when I teach people, I had to tell them, you know, you got to take some care in quieting your heart. I mean, making your soul be still and opening yourself up. Because you don't open yourself up just to open yourself up. You open yourself up to Him. Because otherwise, you open yourself up to any spiritual input. I have experienced that. And I went to my pastor, who was all coaching me through all this, and that's what he warned me about. And then when I began to just open myself up to Him, to just to be with Him, to drink of His love by faith, just to be loved by Him, just to behold Him, you know, just to be with Him. I mean, you're not getting input from the world. You're getting input by your spirit. I mean, His word's coming alive in you. I mean, we're reading through the Bible with Andrew's thing, and I'm getting so much out of the Old Testament. I'm just so amazed at the grace that the Lord revealed and showed even then how patient he was and how loving he was. You know, it's amazing to me. You think about who is it to me that was walked so close with the Lord but messed up so bad. It was King David. It's King David. And he reaps the things that he sowed. You know, we don't always have to reap what we sow. I mean, you can't, you know, but I mean, if you go out and rob the bank, you go into, and you get caught, you're going to jail. Okay, you're going to jail. You know, but he did experience that. He lost a baby. You know, his child was taken, and the mother's child was taken, and she was not. She suffered because of what he did. But this is a man after the Lord's own heart. You understand the grace that he has for us? You cannot lose. You cannot lose if we will begin to understand that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the Word of God, you know, tells us in Hebrews, it says the Word of God is powerful, dividing asunder even soul and spirit. It's the Word that can cause you to understand and discern what is soul and what is spirit in yourself and in words that are being spoken to you. So, you know, my desire is that by the Spirit, and this was my prayer before we had the meeting today, that he would reveal to you the things that I'm bringing to you today that were spirit and were truth. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are truth. The things that are spirit and truth, take them into your heart and guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23, I think it is, or 24. You know, this is, in Proverbs 4, verse 20, what's going on right there, these are the words that King David spoke to Solomon. He told Solomon, guard your heart with all diligence. Let me pull that up real quick, if you don't mind me doing it. I still got time on my timer. Y'all hang in there with me. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Still in the New King James. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Now this, when you go break this down and what the Hebrew was saying, I mean, he's talking about This is supremely important above everything else. Set everything else aside. It has no value. Give attention to my words. And this was so important that the Holy Ghost wanted this in the Bible. The Lord is saying, give attention to my words. And do not let them depart from your eyes. Meditate on it. That's what he's saying. Keep it in the midst of your heart. That's what Andrew Womack's teaching in Effortless Change. This is such a small and easy thing to do. And he does everything else. I mean, he's done. All the grace has been provided for you to walk in the Spirit. And you will walk into a grocery store and the Lord will open things up to you. You know, I pray in the Holy Ghost when I go to the grocery store. What, if you want to do something while I'm here, let me know, Lord. I'm just going to keep my heart stayed on you, except for the list I got to go get, which I usually forget things. But anyway, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Old Testament, the word is health to all their flesh. Okay, Psalms 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their own destructions. Thank God for that word. I've benefited. And then verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. Just protect what goes into your heart. For out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it flow the issues of life. Let me see if I can, if I didn't pass it up. Let me see if I can. That verse 23, further springs of life. The issues of life is everything in life. Out of it, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it is how your life's going to go. Keep my word in your heart, input, guard it, meditate on it, because out of it, you understand? You getting this? Out of it, okay? And this is Old Testament spiritual wisdom. And, you know, I just wanted to emphasize how our part is not difficult. It's a choice. All we have to do is choose. I mean, people that are not born again cannot choose. They're not born of the Spirit. What they do have is repentance if the Lord gives it to them, and understanding if he gives it to them. That's how they can hear the gospel and respond to it. But I got very little left, but we have, take for instance an oak tree. You take an acorn. It's the same thing that the Lord showed me about the mustard seed. You take an acorn, and inside of that acorn, the destiny is, it's a giant tree producing much. And the Lord made one. And now we got them still. But what happens is that acorn is going to plant it in good soil. The soil's good. It's going to produce pretty soon, and it will grow to a full height and full stature if it has all of the nourishment that it needs in the soil, from the sun, so forth. And it didn't have a choice. It's going to do it. It's going to produce. It's in it to produce a great, beautiful tree. But we have a choice. All of the possibilities in us, what's been written about us for us to be potential in us, is a choice for us to make. We're the only thing created that makes the choice. And our part is not difficult, because he's provided it for us, and he does all of the rest of it. And I just want to, my little alarm just went off. I just want to read this one quote from an author that I love. He was in the 1800s, Andrew Murray. He passed away in 1917. He had such a deep, deep walk with the Lord, and I benefited from his books. I mean, incredibly. And he was a man that was, you know, he didn't have they weren't in the dispensation that we have. He didn't understand, he didn't know the grace of God like we're beginning to understand. he was sovereignty of God guy, but he had this walk with the Lord was so intense. And I'm going to give you this one quote. Everything depends upon Christ Jesus occupying the chief place in our attention. In your attention, in my attention. Everything depends upon Christ Jesus occupying the chief place in our attention. You know, I'm going to end right here. I want to give you an invitation to respond to this word and tell the Lord, help me, Lord, help. Best prayer you can utter. Holy Spirit, help me to recognize and to see, because I am going to set aside time. I'm going to take a word with me as I'm driving. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. As I'm doing dishes, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to meditate on your word. Help me, Lord, to grow in this. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, he's excited about that. He's excited about that. That's what he waits for. I just want to open it up right now, and then I'll pray for you. Anybody got any questions?